You're listening to Ann Mish on Watch Us Go, Talk of Muskegon. And today I have with me Kirk Britz from our Safe Belt Department. Hi, Kirk.
Hi, Ann. How you doing?
I'm good. You know what? Before we get started, can you, I don't know how many people actually know you, so can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm the building official for the city of Muskegon.
Okay.
I work through Safe Belt, who has partnered with the city to run their building department, their code enforcement department, which is tires and trash and long grass.
Yes.
And the rental registration and inspection department. So anyway, I grew up in West Michigan. I've been a building inspector for 24 years.
Long time.
Yeah. Worked in Park Township for 16 years. Worked in Muskegon Township. No, take that back. Grand Haven Township for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And now I find myself up here, and I've been here for 3.5 years already.
Now, wait a minute. I think you had, like, a little side job for a while. What was that?
Well, okay.
Yeah.
True.
There's something that's kind of
I was
big
a firefighter
there.
In the city of Holland for 20
For a long
years.
Time, yeah. 23 years. That's something to be very proud of. Yeah,
thank you. And captain of the dive team, and it's a great place to give back to the community.
That's awesome.
A lot of good memories, a lot of bad situations.
Yeah.
But it feels good to be able to give back to the community that
right.
way.
Right, right. So that probably helped you in the building inspection department to, when you see those sad situations, to want to make everything safe for everybody.
Exactly. Makes you feel better.
Yeah.
And we've never had to pull anybody out of a house that's had a working smoke detector. So there's our pitch for smoke detectors.
Exactly. You know, recently we had that smoke detector program through our fire department. And my mom was on that list, and they came to her house. My mom has a very small house. I think they installed 7 smoke detectors in her house.
Yeah.
Little 2-bedroom house.
Yeah.
Boy, that thing is just going to go off like crazy. If she like cooks some bacon or something,
right.
we're all in trouble. Because,
right.
yeah, she's all set up. There's no way. And I feel so safe about that. So
yeah. And now, in that program, they're not real expensive for smoke detectors.
No.
They just run on the small batteries. But for the rental department, we have a requirement, and it's pretty much the same requirement through all the other rental departments, that the batteries be either hardwired, that complies with state law, or if that's not obtainable, there is an option to use the new kind of smoke detector that has a 10-year lithium battery.
Oh.
And the batteries are not removable, so they stay in there. They're good for 10 years. Smoke detectors, by the way, have to be changed every 10 years. That's the lifespan of a smoke detector. So if you have an old smoke detector that's looking all yellow on the ceiling and it's been there for a long time, it might be time to change it out.
So when we get done with the show, can you maybe you can stop by my house? Because as you say that, I'm like, oh, I've been living in my house 13 years, and those are still the same ones.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So they'll start chirping when that 10-year battery gets bad.
Right.
They'll start chirping even if they're hardwired. Usually after 10 years, and I've had that in my house, they start chirping for no reason. You think, well, I'll change the battery. I took
battery.
The thing all down. Oh, this is the one with a built-in battery. So off to the big box store to buy some new smoke detectors.
A new one.
Yeah.
And it seemed like I was just in Myers or something the other day, and I saw one that said no battery required. It was a new smoke detector or something. I don't know. I was just
That's probably the one with the built-in lithium.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what that would be.
Right.
Yeah, because I remember thinking that as I was walking, that's a good idea.
Yeah, they make batteries that are now made for kitchens that delay the alarm, so when you burn your toast, it doesn't go off right away. Or you can cancel the alarm. They even make them say, how's that go? It's just me cooking, and it shuts off. You just yell, it's just me cooking.
Oh, that's good.
So there's all kinds of new alarms out there that do different stuff.
You know, I have to tell you a story. So when my son was young, he was in his bedroom, and he was playing with another friend, and he was like 4 or 5, and I was cooking. And we had a very sensitive smoke detector that would go off all the time. So anyway, I'm cooking along, and all of a sudden the smoke detector goes off, and I'm trying to like stop it. And I heard my son in the other room, his friend had said, "What is that?" And he goes, "Oh, that means dinner's ready."
That's so, great dinner bell.
Yeah, it is great. Yeah, and I just started laughing so hard. So, yeah, I know what you mean about those sensitive ones. So it would be really nice to have one just, "I'm cooking." Good. Okay, so obviously you do so much. I know you do in your department. Now, Safe Belt is actually located, though, in the city of Muskegon, in City Hall.
Right. We're embedded right with the city.
Right.
We're partners with the city
yes.
to run their building department, the code enforcement department, and thirdly, the rental registration department. So we have, I believe, 20 employees.
I was just going to ask you, how many employees do you have?
20 employees, all busy with that stuff.
We have
two and a half people, let's say, in the code enforcement department. There's Kimberly. She's on the road every day.
Yes.
So
I see her in her truck. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we gave her one of the newer cars now.
Oh, so she moved up in the world.
Big move up, yeah. She's been great. She's been with us, I think, 2.5 years.
Oh, really? That long?
She's a certified school teacher, but she loves this job so much that she's staying with us. She just really takes a lot of pride in making things change.
That's good. And then you have Deb and Wendy.
Deb and Wendy are two permit techs.
Okay.
And we have a third one now, Catherine. She's a new
just permit. Started.
Yes. Just started. Yeah. Yep. About less than a month ago.
Right.
So Wendy is a ICC certified.
What is that?
Tech. ICC is International Code Council certified.
Okay.
She just got that certification. Wow. She's really proud of it, and we are too.
Yeah.
She really had to study a lot of stuff for it, and she's the gal with the most of the answers. So she runs our computer programs, makes sure that everybody's putting their input into them correctly.
Yes.
As far as their inspection results, and she writes the programs so the letters come out automatically when there's a violation or something. The correct letter comes out to the correct people. And
right.
She writes all those workflows that go through that computer. So she's kind of the lead permit tech.
Uh-huh.
And then there's Wendy, who mostly deals with building department stuff, mm-hmm. mostly, and sometimes rental if the other permit tech's on break
right,
or something.
Right.
And then Catherine, who we just hired, is the rental registration permit tech. So she registers all the rentals, mm-hmm. sets up all the inspections, takes in all the payments, and does that whole process there.
Okay. So say that I want to put a shed in my backyard. What's the first thing I need to do?
Well, you need to do a site plan. Okay.
Okay. What is the site plan?
Site plan is going to tell you like a bird's eye view from the top.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking down on your lot and you're going to kind of pace off or measure your setbacks and where you want to put this thing.
So this is something like people, if they're just doing something as simple as a shed, could just draw on a piece of paper for you,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe use a ruler or something, but yeah.
Yeah, you could draw it out.
Yeah, would be good. Yes.
And then put your dimensions in there. Now, sheds go through the planning department if it's under 200 square feet.
Okay.
It goes through the planning department. So it doesn't really go through our building department.
Oh.
If it's under 200 square feet, you go through the planning department next door.
Well, I just learned something.
If it's more than 200 square feet,
yep.
then it goes through the building department. So let's say it's 400 square feet, mm-hmm. 20 by 20, then it would go through the building department. We would take your site plan next door, get it approved by planning.
Okay.
And then you would also give us drawings of how you're going to put the shed together. We want to know the header size above the door, what you're going to do for a foundation. Give us some ideas of what you can do for your framing, 2 foot on mm-hmm. center, 16 on center, 2x4s, the double top plate, putting either rafters in or trusses and how you're going to fasten that, what kind of sheeting you're going to use, which is the plywood or OSB that you're using on the roof and siding. And then tell us about your shingles and your felt paper and your siding and underlayment and so forth. So we'll help walk you through that.
That's good because I already feel overwhelmed. Wow. So what if you were just like buying a big box store and you buy a shed? Do you still have to go through all of that?
Right. So a pre-assembled shed mm-hmm. from a big box store usually is not more than 200 square feet. Usually it's 10 by 12 or 10 by 15 or 12 by whatever.
Right.
Those they ship it right to you, they put it in place, and you do need to go to the planning department and get your site plan approved for that.
And the reason you have to do that is because of the variances or how far away from the property line it is.
Right.
We've had Mike here before,
yeah.
and he's talked about those
your
kind
setbacks.
Of things.
Yeah, so,
the setbacks
important
requirements,
because,
yeah.
You know, the neighbors get riled up if
yeah.
you're too close. And,
yeah.
yeah.
And it'll be the neighbor that'll call and,
oh,
and
yeah.
complain about
right.
it. And you don't want to have to move it after you've already put it
right.
up. Yeah, that's
right.
just so much worse. So,
yeah.
all right.
And a lot of times you want to stay, when you lay that out, you want to stay 10 feet away from the house because that's like a building code issue. And it's usually a zoning issue, too. They're kind of running tandem there.
Okay.
So usually 10 feet away from the house.
Oh, I didn't know that one either.
So.
All right. Well, good to know, because I know that's a project. In the summertime, people are always out there trying to, you know, sheds especially,
right.
put those up, pop those up, and get all your stuff stored out there because the garages are full and you can't park there in the wintertime. So
right.
I know. We just went through that in our house. So, yeah, I get that. And, of course, people are out there building houses right now. And do we have a lot of building permits out there?
Yes, there's some neat things happening in town. We just got done with the, I forgot the name of that little square. Help me with it.
Midtown Square.
Yes. That's it. That's too easy of a name for me
yeah.
to remember. And 9 new homes built by a really
beautiful
nice contractor.
Beautiful homes. Yes.
Really, yeah,
yes.
they really turned out well.
Who was Alan?
Alan Edward.
Edward, yeah. Alan
and
Edward.
They're good people to work with. Mm-hmm. They're easy to contact, easy to make them happy. They made us happy.
Good.
It worked out well. Anyway, they turned out 9 beautiful homes. One is sold. I think there's some others that are getting some heavy inquiries.
Heavy, yeah. I know. I've heard a couple of them that have got some real serious interest on them. So, yes. Yeah.
So that's great. We're dealing with that. There's Terrace Point, which is over by the big, tall hotel on the lakeshore.
It's across the street from, or are you talking about the houses back there?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to go drive by the lake house, the restaurant, and the hotel. You go, keep going back there, and you're going to find
it's right on the lake. Nice little point. There's some, I think there's might be 3 homes that are occupied. There's 2 of them that are models. And there's some more being built. And they're putting in the pool right now. Nice pool. It's a small lot, but they're fitting a nice pool on there with a pool house. And I was in one of the other houses there one night for a little wine and cheese gathering with some people. And it's a beautiful house. Beautiful view out the south, the west for the sunsets over the lake.
Yes. I was fortunate enough to go through one of those houses, too. And I know that one even had an elevator in it. That's what impressed me the most. I mean, it was still beautiful anyway, but... It had an elevator.
Yeah.
I mean, I there's so much you could do there. And you can also pick out your own design, your own plan. Right. And they already have a developer
it's a good builder,
out there. Right.
And they have a lot of lots for sale yet.
Yes.
Some on the lake and some off the lake. Yes. So you can go either way.
Right. And really, for being on the lake, they're pretty inexpensive.
They are.
Compared to other
cities around us. It's a real, real good deal.
Right now, yes, absolutely.
They made it a lot smaller and affordable. But, you know, that kind of community, it's going to work out
right. And then do we have something going on in Terrace Plaza upstairs?
Yes.
That top floor?
I have only heard that they're making apartments up there.
Yep.
They haven't brought any prints to me yet. But
I've heard the same thing. Yeah. There's going to be some apartments put in there in a couple of those floors at least.
Right.
Which is the reason why they're doing all this is because we have such a need right now for market rate housing in downtown.
Right.
There's we're sold out everywhere when it comes to market rate. People can't get in.
Right.
So it's such an exciting time right now. And Gary Post, I think he is building another unit
Clay. He has 3 condos. I'm not sure, but I think at least one of those is sold.
Wow.
They're not freestanding, but they're individual condo units side by side.
Right. Connected by a wall, I think.
Townhouse type setup.
Yes,
is what it is.
That's right. Yeah.
And he's also doing a partnership with the city on a building downtown and rehabbing that. For I think there's going to be some living quarters up above, some condos.
That's what I saw too.
Where the business down below.
Yeah.
Good setup for a downtown area. It really is.
And that's that bank that's been empty for quite a long time on Clay.
Clay and First.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so there's some exciting things going in there and a pretty exciting company who has a serious interest in being on that first floor that will do nothing but enhance downtown Muskegon.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're involved in a lot of bigger projects. We just got done with the jail last year, a big jail addition. That was a huge project, $40 million.
Yes.
Of course, it's kitty corner from the city hall, so it's easy for us to walk for inspections because we had to be there 3-4 times a day for footing inspections and stuff.
Right. So you could watch them every moment, couldn't you?
Yeah.
With binoculars out the window. <That's>
about. And then some other big projects coming up, of course, is the hospital renovations.
Really big.
9 or 10 stories. I just met with them again yesterday, and they just dropped off plans for the foundation. So I'll be reviewing those over the next few days, doing a foundation permit.
Right.
And the permit before that was the subsurface, all the stuff that goes in below the foundation, so the electrical lines, gas lines, some of the parking lots, and some of the site preparation. So that was a permit before that. They're doing some other small permits right now they have to alter their entryways. So be aware if you have to go to the hospital, the entryways will be a little different.
The parking lot will
be changing.
Yeah.
There'll be some things happening.
Kind of threw me off when I got there, too. There's fencing up and places where you can't go. And hey, can you tell people, why do you have to have a permit for foundation? Why is the foundation so important?
Well,
for people, I know, because sometimes they think, we just make up rules or we're just trying to be difficult or whatever. But there are real reasons.
And I could talk about foundations all day. But
give us the little synopsis.
The hospital has got to hold 8 or 10 stories, big steel structure, whatever, tons.
So if it's not solid at the bottom, then we're going to have, the whole thing's going to come down.
Right. Yeah. Now, on a small home or even a garage, the frost depth here is 42 inches. A couple decades ago, they used to allow a 24-inch deep foundation that went for quite a while.
Okay.
And they realized over time that they were too shallow, and the code really does require you to be 42 inches. So that's kind of an important breakthrough here because it's just happened the last few years. Not a big deal, but it's big enough.
Well, and I know, you know, just today, my mom, I was talking to her and her best friend, they have to hoist up or jack up their house.
Through the frost heaven, you know, the last winter we had and the winter before actually, mm-hmm. where it was super cold, the frost went very deep
right.
in the ground.
So if you do it right the first time, you're not going to have those issues.
Right.
And when we've got all these public people and, well, we don't want anybody to get hurt, no matter if it's public or private,
yeah.
but it's really important that you get in there and you make sure, because, you know, the people that are paying people to do this, they don't know. They just know it needs to be done, and you hire a contractor, but somebody needs to oversee that contractor.
Right.
And that's
what
you're
doing.
That's
why they have inspections.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
So on foundations, we do several inspections. One, we do the pre-pour when they do the footing.
Uh-huh.
So we measure the width of the foundation, depth of the foundation, if they're putting re-rod in it or not, and whether it's deep enough in the ground. They pour that, and then after that, we do a pre-form inspection. So if they do poured walls, we look at those forms and check mm-hmm. the re-rod and the width and all the location on the footings, all those kind of things before they pour the walls. Then after they strip those walls off, we do what's called a waterproofing inspection. So they spray the waterproofing on.
Okay.
And they sometimes, sometimes not, they put in ground drainage depending on the soil conditions.
Right.
And sometimes they put a septic tank in at that point. So then we do that we call it a pre-backfill inspection. So we're on a third inspection already. Then for the floor, like a basement floor, mm-hmm. crawl space floor, it's supposed to have a 6 mil poly under that cement. So we do a pre-pour for the
right.
cement. We check that poly, make sure it's in properly, it's taped off by the pipes that come through and all that. Then they pour the floors.
Now see, what I get out of all of that is that there is no way that people like me would ever know all of this stuff. And I've hired somebody just to build me a house or build me a garage or something like that. I'm just expecting them to know what they're doing and that they're doing it correctly. But that's why we need inspectors out there, because they're actually overseeing that work.
Right.
And that's because there's just no clue. I'd be like, did you do your preform waterproofing, whatever that was? You know, I wouldn't, you know, I just wouldn't know. And
yeah.
I've worked with contractors and they're pretty good sometimes at telling you what you want to hear.
Yeah.
But not necessarily doing it either.
Right. Uh-huh. And that's why a forum like this and the radio is a good way to get that sort of news
out. To explain why we are doing it, yeah.
So a foundation is one of the most important parts of your home.
Absolutely.
Of course, your roof is the other most important part.
Right.
And we can talk about roofs real quick a second, in that when you re-roof, mm-hmm. Permits are required to re-roof your house.
Okay.
Most people around here, the roofs are bad enough that they tear off the old shingles and they start with fresh new shingles on the wood.
All right.
And so that's called a tear off.
Yep.
And then sometimes when they tear off, it can be wood shake shingles underneath. So they need to remove all those. And then when they remove that, they got boards there that with a gap. And that gap is greater than a half inch. The shingles won't span that. It'll look terrible and it won't work right. So they have to resheet it sometimes.
All right.
So they resheet that. Once it's got plywood on top, then they can use an ice and water shield on the edge, usually two rows of ice and water shield, and then the rest of that can be regular felt. Then they put the drip edge on and they lay their shingles and do the flashing properly, and that's the things we inspect for.
Now, what if somebody wants to go over their existing shingles? Because I think you can
do that up to two times.
Okay.
So you got the original layer and you can shingle over that if it's in good condition.
Okay.
But once you have two layers, you can't put a third on.
Okay.
That's in the building code.
All right.
So,
But it is possible, because right now I'm thinking, after everything you just said, I'd rather just go over what I have
and
be good. Yeah, yeah. I'm one of those with the shortcuts, I think, after listening to you, because I'm just overwhelmed.
Well, if there's already two layers, you got to tear it off, and you have to tear it all the way down to the wood.
Right.
Put a new paper, new felt. It does give you a longer lifespan of the shingles and everything, too. So
you do more than just the electrical and the mechanical and the plumbing and the building. You also have other things, like you take care of environmental or...
So environmental, we call that code compliance.
Uh-huh.
So that's what Kimberly does in the field. She's a rock star in this division.
Yeah.
She's really good with talking with people.
Right.
And she does deal with a lot of difficult people that don't understand, and she's so good at talking them through it. So what code compliance is Kimberly patrols every street and every alley in the city. She has a schedule that she has to stay on to get everywhere.
Good.
And if there's tall grass, she takes the address down, she sends you a letter, gives you a warning. If you don't cut it in a certain time, like a week,
okay,
she goes back and rechecks it, If you haven't cut it, she'll send a work crew out there to cut that for you. And then they send you a bill.
What's the length of grass that you're allowed right now?
The ordinance says 6 inches.
Okay.
So 6 inches or greater, you're supposed to cut it.
All right.
So
got to kind of watch. And then how many warning letters do you actually get?
You get one warning letter. Actually, we posted in the paper. Not that anybody reads the paper anymore.
I know.
That's required. So yeah. It is posted.
That's why we're telling you on the radio now.
Right. Now we're posting on the radio. Yeah. So then you get a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you don't act on the letter,
right.
you'll get...
I can tell you, I was taking care of my grandmother's house when she was in the nursing home, and it's in the city of Muskegon, and I know that one time I got a letter. I hadn't been over there fast enough and hadn't stopped by and got one of those letters, too. And after that, I was on top of it the rest of the summer because I knew that was my one and only chance, my one and only warning. And you don't want to get one of those bills for that mowing job that they do over there.
No, it's not fun for anybody.
No, it isn't.
And it's not even fun for the contractor. And some people shoo them away, which means if they don't cut it, it gets rechecked. If they shooed the contractor away and they still don't cut it,
right.
You can get a ticket, so that's even
less
fun. It's
just not worth it.
Just cut your grass.
Just cut it, yeah.
So some of the other concerns we have in the code enforcement world is trash. So that includes tires, pallets. Pallets are somehow famous in this. People love to collect pallets.
Actually want some pallets right now.
Old furniture, old couches, buckets. Brush, all that kind of stuff. You can imagine. This is a whole list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if you have junk in your yard, we send you a letter. Yep. We try to describe in the letter. Now, remember, there's a lot of places that Kimberly has been.
Right.
So she can't recall them all, but she'll try to put in there, like, tires and pallets or whatever the issue is.
Right.
But then also below that, it's a paragraph that kind of explains the definition of what trash and rubbish is.
Sure.
And if you have any of those items in that definition, that's what's keying up the code enforcement.
All right.
So get that cleaned up. You usually have 14 days. Mm-hmm. If you don't clean it up in 14 days, they'll send a contractor out to clean your yard up for you and send you a bill.
Again, you don't want that.
You don't want that.
So you can buy a sticker from the treasurer's office for $2 to throw on an old couch and get rid of it that way.
Right. So put the couch out front only the day of your garbage pickup.
Right.
And put the sticker on it only the day of it's there.
Because you don't want somebody to take it.
The stickers are worth $2, so people somehow steal them.
They do take them.
So,
right.
But you can buy those stickers. You can get rid of couches, old recliners. You can get rid of mattresses. But now there's one more trick with the mattress.
Yes.
It has to be wrapped in something. So usually a big plastic bag or a big,
And the reason for that is?
Bed bugs and stuff like that. The contracting guys don't want to handle.
Yeah,
so
no. So it needs to be all
wrapped in plastic.
Right. And I know twice a year we actually have a gathering that people can drop off their tires.
Right.
So that's another great way.
It's a countywide thing.
Yep.
And our team at Safebuilt gives back to the community in a lot of places. We do a scholarship for a couple students a year. We do it in the building trades, which ties in nicely.
Wonderful.
We have adopted lots. We adopted two lots.
Yes.
One last year. We adopted one more this year, so we're doing two lots.
Okay.
Another place we kind of gave back is on a weekend, myself and someone from planning, we took my truck and a trailer, and we drove down the alleys. We picked up old tires. We picked up 75 old tires on that on that tire amnesty day.
Yeah.
And took those to that cleanup.
Yeah.
And there was lines and lines and lines of people down the street with tires to dump off. It's really good to see. Yeah. I can't imagine that many tires.
I know. It's fantastic. It's so much better than seeing them in the alleys or piled up, and they find a place and they just dump it all and they make it a dumping ground. Instead, you can just hold on. Every 6 months now we have this,
Put it in your garage. Don't leave it outside.
Yep.
Put it in your garage on the tire cleanup day. Get it to their place.
Yep.
Otherwise, take it to one of your tire shops for a couple dollars a tire. They'll get rid of them for you. They're not worth having around. Don't want them to get full of water because they harbor mosquitoes and all that stuff. And now with the different viruses you can get from mosquitoes.
Not a good idea. Either. No, not at all.
So it's all the effort to making Muskegon a more wonderful place. It's so much potential here. There's so much going on. The downtown is turning around from 3.5 years ago when I started here to what it looks like now.
I am so excited.
And this, I have old code enforcement pictures from 3 years ago that I happen to look up when I'm looking up stuff. And what things looked like then, we don't have those problems right now. It's all much smaller code enforcement issues.
Right.
So it's really a big change. The grass we're keeping cut. People are getting better and better about it.
Yep.
the new industries that are coming in town, some of the older buildings that are getting torn down, this is all moving in the right direction.
It really is. I know the medians downtown Muskegon, flowers planted, green grass, everything just looks so good. The downtown is packed on the weekends.
Yeah.
You know what, this weekend we'll have Party in the Park.
And
there's
the Gus Macker tournament.
Gus Macker coming.
Yeah.
We also have a cruise ship.
Yeah,
you know, we have different things coming. Yeah, it's so exciting to me. And have cruise ships, too. 10 of them this summer coming.
Yeah.
To the city of Muskegon.
It's neat to watch them in. My wife and I stay at the state park. Best kept secret, so don't tell anybody.
Our secret.
Yeah, okay. So it's a great place to stay, the state park. And you get to watch the ships come in and the ferry come in. And it's really neat.
And you should hear the compliments that we get from these people who come off these cruise ships of what they think of Muskegon. They've never laid eyes on it before. And what they see, they're so impressed, you know, from other places they've been.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just so excited about what's going on downtown right now.
Yeah.
And we have some more development happening, too, that... you know, they haven't shared everything out yet, but we're pretty excited. I know I have to like bite my tongue in that because I only know enough to make me dangerous. But the things that are being proposed and that are coming are so exciting right now.
And kind of another neat thing is, you know, the power plant is not producing electricity anymore.
Right.
So that's being disassembled. I just came for this meeting. I came from a meeting with them.
Okay.
And they're going to start on it pretty soon. So next year, the smokestack will come down. And then the other buildings will come down. 2 years from now, you'll be looking at a green site for future development, future use. They're working on plans.
So who knows what could go there?
Yeah, they got some stuff in the works, but we don't quite know yet what it's going to be.
Oh, they haven't told you?
They haven't told me.
Oh, okay.
So
I was going to try to get a little bit out of you anyway, but well. And what else do we have going on?
Well,
how many building permits do we have? Do you know? Or
you know, I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah.
All the permits, but you know, the college downtown is renovating.
Oh yeah, that's another one.
They're renovating that old paper place.
Muskegon Community College coming down to Muskegon Chronicle.
Yeah.
Yes, and that beautiful old building.
$14 million renovation to that building.
I love that building.
And the contractor just came in, Clark Construction, which is a great company for us to work with. They did the Science Center out at the college, MCC.
Yeah.
And they do a great to work with, and I'm excited they're working downtown.
So which one is going to be downtown? Which
MCC.
Well, MCC.
College. And Baker's there also.
But they're not doing a culinary school. What are they putting downtown?
They're putting, I think it's industrial trades.
Okay.
Welding and other industrial science.
And
stuff.
We are so desperate for that right now. I can't tell you how many commission meetings I've sat through where we've had new companies or companies coming up asking for, you know, IFTs and industrial facilities tax exemption. And they always ask them, it will create new jobs. It's going to create, you know, 30 new jobs. But there are things where they need welders. They need
CNC machines. Yeah.
Yeah. They all of these things, you know.
There's always openings in those fields.
This isn't like you don't have to go to college for 4 years to do this stuff.
Those people that do that stuff make good money.
They make really good money, you know. Like, I want to do this on the side, you know. That's just, they even, like, really make good money. And you can just go for, like, a year, go to MCC and pick up this trade. You can go any one of those shops. They're, like, dying for people right now.
I tell you, you get a job, you get right in.
Yeah. You have that training. You got that certificate. That's all you need.
Yeah.
And you've got a really great
paycheck. MCC also... it took over the YMCA, and they partnered with the YMCA.
Yes.
And they're going to do $2 million worth of renovations to that building.
Wow.
So that'd be neat. They're going to change some windows, and upgrade a whole bunch of stuff.
Now, is that going to continue to be a gym?
Well, they partnered with the
YMCA.
So the YMCA will still be there. I don't quite know the capacity.
Right,
but,
how it's going to work.
But they moved their office to 3rd and Mason, I believe.
Okay.
Houston.
Yeah,
And so the YMCA office is there, and they have a lot of different programs for people.
Oh, my gosh. It's just such an exciting time. And imagine what that's going to look like downtown 2 years from now.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be really the place to be.
Yeah.
Just off downtown, and we're talking about 3rd Street Corridor,
is
a couple of neat things happening there. And this is from the inside. This is some investors coming to look at some property there.
I'm, like, totally interested right now because I have no idea what this is.
We're kind of excited about them coming in. So... there's some buildings there that they want to look at and do some stuff with. But there is a place called Mike's Burgers that's going to be opening.
Oh, yeah.
And
they
it's
were
being renovated
yes.
right now. And they're
they came to the commission
through.
Meeting.
Yeah, they're about halfway through the renovations, and that'll be neat. He's going to have, like, gourmet burgers that are yet affordable.
Oh.
So
walking,
I'll be eating there a lot.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, loves to go to lunch. I'm going to tell you that right now because he walks by my window every day, like clockwork, 12 o'clock. There goes Kurt. He's heading downtown. Yeah. So now you'll have a different direction.
Yeah, I might not see you so much. I have to walk around the building.
No. You're going to have to walk a little bit further if you're going to keep eating those burgers. That's what you're going to have to do. Oh, my gosh. We are already out of time. You know, we're going to have you back again because I know we didn't even cover everything. There's no way. So we'll have to plan that sometime in the future. And all right. So thank you so much for being here with us today.
Great being here.
All right. Until next time.